the inspired account of Naaman the leper, who was a Syrian army captain, is a familiar one. Yes, as it's often given as an example of obedience to God's commands. But also there are other lessons to be learned from this inspired account. And we'll want to begin our study of 2 Kings chapter 5 in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins and Father Morgan Street Church of Christ. We welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. Are we doing just that? Well, we better be. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville as we study God's precious word in our Bible classes. And then as we assemble to worship God, we're striving to do so in spirit, that is with a proper attitude, but also, of course, in accordance to the New Testament pattern, thus in truth. You would be very much welcome to join in with us, and yes, we're still practicing those safe measures. Something else I'd like to mention is, if you would be interested in having a Bible study, boy, would we really enjoy having that opportunity. Yes, and of course, your Bible questions and your comments, positive or negative, are appreciated as well. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Also, our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's go to 2 Kings chapter 5 and begin our study of Naaman's leprosy and notice some wonderful lessons for our application today. Verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." So here we have a little maid from Israel who had concern for Naaman. Yes, the little maid was an Israelite taken captive by the Syrians, but yet she had concern even for her enemies. So a lesson for our admonition today would be to ask ourselves this question: what about our concern for the lost? Remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, verse 44. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now this is Christianity. The world does not understand what Jesus is saying here, but we better apply it. We do not have to like the actions of people, no, but we must have a concern for their soul, for it's worth more than all the world, is it not? We know that it is. Now, God hates sin, and we are to hate sin as well, but not the sinner. There's a difference there. Of course there is, and we need to understand that. So here's a great lesson for us, as this little maid from Israel had concern even for her captive captors. And so We want to, of course, have concern for even our enemies. Yes, certainly the lost needs salvation. But let's go on now to verse 5. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And verse 7, And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. So we have here the king of Syria sending Naaman to the wrong source. King Ben-Hadad was the king of Syria, and he may have meant well, but he sent Naaman to someone who could not heal him. Well, remember what the little maid had said back in verse 3, Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria. She's talking about Elisha, the prophet of God, who God, through Elisha, could heal Naaman. She was right. But King Ben-Hadad, unfortunately, didn't know the right source to send Naaman unto. Well, Jehoram was the king of Israel at this time, and you see, as he gets this letter from King Ben-Hadad of Syria, what happened? He became afraid. He thinks the king of Syria is wanting to get a quarrel started because of this request. Well, that's sad to say. He should have understood whom to send Naaman to. Well, how many today, and here's the lesson for us, how many today go to the wrong source seeking salvation? Yes, this is the most important thing we could do. Seeking salvation, is it not? We know that it is. And this is what happens when one accepts the false religion of, say, one's parents, or someone who's close to us, who seems sincere about their false religion. And of course, there are those who trust in their own conscience. And this is going to the wrong source. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 10 and notice what our Lord and Savior said. Matthew 10, 34 through 39. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foe shall be they of his own household. Now notice, Jesus, of course, is speaking of a spiritual application here. Of course, Christ is the Prince of Peace, and we can have true peace only by being in the body of Christ, in the Church of Christ, having our sins washed away. This is peace that passeth all understanding. But Jesus is talking about a situation where when one follows the truth, one is obedient to the law of Christ, it can cause problems with those who do not obey, especially in the first century in a Jewish household where you're now serving Christ. Well, they were not accepting Christ as the only begotten Son of God. Remember, they would continue under the law of Moses and the Christian's no longer going to be following the law of Moses. That was nailed to the cross. And so let's go on and see what Jesus said. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now note, we're to love our parents. Of course we are. That's been a principle under all the laws of God. And it continues under, of course, under the law of Christ. And certainly we're to love our children. We're to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But are we to love them more than the Lord? Well, of course not. This is the point. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. So if our parents are teaching us a false religion and we stay with them rather than the Lord, we're not worthy of the Lord. That's true, isn't it? Because the Lord said so. What about our children as they get older and are able to choose what they want to follow in a religious way, but they're not following the truth? Are we going to love them more than Christ and substantiate them in a false religion and even go along with them? That's not the right way to heaven, and we need to understand that. Jesus goes on to say, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. Yes, we could go ahead and go along with others, even though they're the wrong source, we're going to lose our soul. And notice, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. So even if it came to losing our life for the cause of Christ, we found salvation for eternity. There's no comparison, is there? So let's understand that, as this is a great lesson from our study of Captain Naaman. Going to the wrong source is what King Ben-Hadad did in sending this letter to the king of Israel, who had no means of healing Captain Naaman's leprosy, did he? Well, of course not. So we want to be sure we're going to the right source when it comes to our salvation. To go to the wrong source will result in going to the wrong place for eternity. Jesus said, I am the way. There's not many ways to heaven. There's only one. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let's stay with the truth through Christ. But let's go on now to verse 8 and continue learning these valuable lessons from our study this morning. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. So the prophet Elisha instructed Naaman how to become clean. Yes, Elisha sent a messenger out to tell Naaman what to do rather than going out himself. He didn't need to do that. The instructions were clear, and Naaman could understand them without a question. And they didn't require any difficult task on Naaman's part. Go. And go where? To the Jordan River. And wash there. Dip yourself 7 times, not 3, 4, 5, or 6, but 7. That was the instructions, and there again, very clear. Who misunderstood them? No one should. So, the lesson for us is what? God's commands are clear for man to have salvation from his sins. This is much more important than being cleansed of leprosy, as horrible as that disease is. Most cases, it's terminal, is it not? It rots the flesh. It's a terrible way to die. But it's worse to lose one's soul for eternity. And we all should see that. But note, Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." So if you don't believe, you're certainly not going to get baptized. There's no need to repeat that. But you see, belief and baptism went together, joined by the conjunction "and." And no one should misunderstand that. And we should stay with the Word of God. And no matter how sincere people may be that tell us otherwise, we better stay with what God says. Now, let's notice verses 11 and 12. As you can see here, what happened with Naaman at first, but Naaman was wroth. I mean to tell you, he's angry. "And went away and said, Behold, I thought." That's the problem. "Behold, I thought. He will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. So the instructions were at first refused by Naaman. He understood the instructions, but because of his own prejudices, his thoughts nearly cost him his cleansing. Because Naaman sought to substitute two other rivers for the Jordan. The Jordan River was the river where he would become clean. Not that it had medicinal purposes, oh no. But that was the command through the prophet of God. And that's what he should have submitted to. And we need to learn here, God will not accept changes or substitutions for that which he has authorized or commanded under the law of Christ. Remember in Leviticus 10, 1 and 2, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, the first high priest, they were priests, and they were offering strange fire, which God had commanded not. God had given the instructions, that's back in Exodus, for what kind of fire they were to offer. But they substituted, offering strange fire, and they were consumed and died. Yes, that's a lesson, isn't it? We're not to substitute in the worship service what God has commanded us to do. Notice Colossians 3:17, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name," that is the authority of the Lord Jesus, "giving thanks to God and the Father by him." That's what we better do. Now, should we allow something to stand between us and eternal life? Like Naaman was almost doing here with his cleansing of leprosy, he allowed his false thinking. You see, his prejudices, just standing in the way. Well, notice Luke 18, verses 18 through 24. Here you have a rich young ruler who came to Jesus. Yes, as he said, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. If you trust in your riches, it's impossible to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Yes, and that's what Jesus is referring to there in verse 25, is it not? So we should not ever allow anything to stand between us and eternal life like that young ruler did. What could be more important than saving our soul? Matthew 16:26, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will he give in exchange for his soul? We better understand that. But let's go on now to verses 13 and 14. Excuse me, verses 13 and 14 of 2 Kings 5. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? And then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto a flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Well, here we have the leprosy being cured when Naaman did what? When he obeyed what the man of God had told him. The instructions were critical. Yes, he understood them from the very start. And at first he didn't like it. But thankfully he had a servant that showed him the error of his ways. So again, did the water of the Jordan River heal Naaman? No. What about dipping seven times in the water? Still, it's not the water that's doing the cleansing, is it? What did heal Naaman? Hearing the prophet of God, believing, and obeying. They all go together, obeying of God's word. Would Naaman have been healed had he heard and believed only? As so many people teach today, faith only? No, sir, he would not, and we all know that. Notice James 2:20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Unfortunately, a lot of people don't understand that. They confuse works of merit with works of righteousness. Works of righteousness are included. Works of merit are excluded. We're not saved by our own works, earning our salvation, as Ephesians 2:8-9 certainly declare. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Those are meritorious works, but that doesn't rule out works of righteousness. As you go down to verse 10, you can see that in Ephesians 2. Notice James 2:24. You see then how that by works, what kind of works? Righteousness type works. Works of righteousness, better to say. And then it goes on to say, a man is justified and not by faith only. So never think that it's faith only when the Bible says it's not. Stay with God's word, all of us. So how are we cleansed from our sins today? You see, Naaman obeyed what was spoken of from a man of God. Yes, the instructions were clear, as we pointed out. So, as we know in the scriptures, if we study God's word, which we should, let's take Paul's conversion, for example. Yes, he was blinded on the road to Damascus. He wasn't saved on the road. He was told to go into Damascus where it would be told him what he must do. Ananias told Paul, Why tarest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord, submitting to his authority. Does the water save us? No, it's the blood of Christ that saves us. But we must come into contact with his precious blood as we go under the water. It's a burial. In John chapter 19, 33 and 34, we note, but when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. So his blood, Christ's blood, was shed in his death. That's clear, isn't it? So we go to Romans 6, 3 through 4, and see how this comes together, how we contact the blood of Christ. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? That's when he shed his blood. That's when we're going to contact his blood as we're buried and baptized into Christ. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Who misunderstands that? If we don't contact the blood of Christ and submit to the command of God, we are lost in our sins if we're accountable. It is in baptism that we contact the precious blood of Christ. After, now I need to say this, after having heard the word, Romans 10, 17, that's how our faith comes, after believing that Jesus is the Christ, John 8:24, then we're to repent of our sins, making a change of wills, Luke 13, 3 and 5, and then we're ready to confess Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, as the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts 8, 37. And Romans 10, 9 and 10, it's unto salvation. So we're ready then to be baptized. And for what purpose? For the remission of our sins. As Peter on the day of Pentecost, the day the church began in Acts chapter 2, those that cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? They needed salvation. They had crucified Christ, wanted to know how to be saved. Peter told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. That's the purpose. Acts 2:38 made that clear, and many other verses. You see, every conversion in the book of Acts, they were baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. And we must do the same today. And it's not difficult to understand it. But the problem is, there have been so many people saying otherwise. And they may be sincere, like old King Ben-Hadad was sincere in sending Naaman to the king of Israel, but that was the wrong source. And we better be sure that we're going to the right source. We're staying with the Word of God, otherwise we're in jeopardy of losing our soul. That's how important this is. And we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel and studying further. And we thank you so much for listening today.